by being designed to break rules. Okay, this one here is called Hanuman Deal. I'd like to share with you a great compliment I received the other day in dance from a woman. You dance like the devil, and I mean that in the nicest possible way. This is what she has to say. I am absolutely ecstatic about dancing in this drug-free, alcohol-free space where it's good to go absolutely insane. I'm here always to take my place. Now, I believe that there is a bit of a devil in all of us just waiting to be danced. Or sung, or splashed onto a canvas, or blown into a wind instrument. I have come to accept the church and the children of the church that have tried to parent us. I like the one-lined letter I prepared for the Vatican. Dear Pope, please excommunicate me with respect the divine devil dancer. Wait a minute, socket, staff bug. There's a second line. It says, yes, don't bother. I'll do it myself. If it's devilish to dance your emotions, then I am Lord Lucifer himself. Hugging the devil in me has helped me to see how God's love abounds around the greatest devil that there ever was, and how God's love is in all of us. I just have three lines of a poem, a short that I've kind of half started. I just like to read the first few lines. There is a furry caterpillar born in West Kerry that is affectionately known as the Hairy Molly. And it's me.
Something different. This one's a love poem, it's called Sense. I took your hand and danced with the universe. I moved as you moved. Flowed with a time river that caught us in its motion. A song to what is. The sun sparking off the rocks and the glisten of water. I saw the drop depths in your hair and moved to touch them. The song of some ancient sense moving through the windows of our imagination. Spiraling forth to some dancer that spun his way through the Plato's cave of so much reality. I felt unreal and then real. The song of a thousand ages floating dreamlike to some god that shimmered in the distance. I moved through slow motion, each moment condensing into the one before. Each image blending and becoming itself. The other, a myriad of things that made that split across my mind like thought. I caught the last of the sun before nighttime and glistened through the silvery moon imagination that caught us in its testimony and made us part of it. I saw the glistening of starlight music in the sky above us as we reached the touches, hands shining through the stardust caught on them, images floating in and out of an awareness that we painted on the canvas of the forest. You making me and I making you. The hymn of our creation bursting through the shining clouds and falling, soft rain, on the barley that swept its song to us. The whisper that calls for the fields of music that beckoned us to the point of intoxication, that moves sticky sweet through each image. We carve our names upon the tree of life and watch them grow as a tree grows. We swam through the rivers of our imagination and felt the chill of the water tingle our toes. We rose like incense and became our own sacrifice. We motioned through to the breaking of distant dawn and let the desert tickle our toes. We had tea in the Sahara and watched the sand fill our cups with its own testament. We cascaded through the windows of our image, splintering across the light like the last song, the first song. We moved through the distant gull cry of memory and smashed into the water. A million droplets released to participate in their own dance. I was a pile, a meson, both, caught on the interchange of feeling, like some journey of many parts that painted the direction through the salt spray that scattered upon mind with the wind. Glistening sparkles and a song to life that rose up with the wind, cascading on the rocks of memory like its own dream, existing and not existing, becoming as it was, then, is now, will be. I move through the slow soar of the gulls and their cries to heaven, existing once and again from the moment when I gave birth to my existence, our existence. I dream to take you by the hand and sparkle in the dew-wet leaves. I dream to take you by the hand and give birth to the green shoots of our own spring. I dream to take you by the hand and scatter our sunlight on the sea rocks of summer. I dream to take you by the hand and sway with the autumn barley, and whisper as the wind whispers through it. I dream to take you by the hand and draw our love through the frosted windows of wintertime. I echo with every move that you make an echo of my own movement. I sing with every song you sing the fabric of my creation. I dance through every dance you dance, the spirit dances through which the universe was born. I dream with every dream you dream, watching the silence of your hair upon the pillow and the gentle in-out of your breathing. I move through the floating azure of the sky of each dream we dreamt together. Each moment when we held each other's hand, it became the stars above us, glistening in their mystery a thousand stories before casting them as silver on the lake. I swim through the silence and hear it call to me, hear the silence breathe as you breathe. In and out through the stillness of the night, and the owl hoot of some form of light, echoing through the motionless forest as if it was the forest itself that was dreaming, as if the trees had found voice with the owl, singing a hymn to the silence. I motion through to you to be still with me, to sway with the barley and to beat the song of creation in your heart. I saw you beside me and found the meaning of our dreaming as hand in hand, we spiral towards the splint of light of dawn and caught it in our fingers. As you may or not know, I've been an activist for the rights of the Iraqi people for a long time now, and I've written several poems about Iraq. This is one of them. It's called Baghdad too. We paint our histories and watch them scatter before us. The child who speaks within his own silence like a thousand voices. The motion of the sand as it spirals to each awareness. The awareness that cloys like sweat. We motion through the dance light of a thousand splintering moments that scatter themselves and ask for our redemption. We motion through each image. The dead dictator. The child who whispers in the corridors of some wrecked up neighborhood that sprayed his histories like graffiti on minds that fumble in the curfew dark. existing through each reframe of history, the sand that blows into our hair, the images that we plaster on our new screens like some form of Andy Warhol diktat, over and over, the meanings shimmering for a moment before they lose themselves in the elixir of forgetting, the silent statement that we painted on the walls behind the image of the dead dictator, swaying in the breeze and a thousand meanings get spat out like some form of allegoric testament toward the image of synthetic justification that peel off the walls, that move through each rimmed London ad a call for the form of arms, the distances through which we carve our lives and our meanings, as if forming of ourselves a sculpture of our own image, the little fragments of rock scattering as we carve, relentless, the motion of some still-winged bird as it soars above us, calling through its ghost-like motions images and refutations of sway with their dictator, the triad caught in his own image, each image of a thousand images that splatter like rain on the windows of life, that move through each moment like a train through stations, the crackle of some radio voice telling of some form of ideals of freedom that burns with a white phosphorus, that shimmered in the evening like a dance of its own phantom, that motion softly, the child touching it, the song that weaves its ways to the god-like incense, an offering, the man on the television telling a surge of some stuff, the images of El Qaeda that stalk imaginations that creep into every crevice of argument, existing through some hallucinogen through which we watch the silence dance with itself over and over, singling meaning over some sweet black because there is no electricity, singing its dirge to the demise of reality, the crackle of gunfire substituting for that which we once understood, the imagery of floating in the air like puff cloud realities that are there for a moment and then gone, the echoes of their funeral played out by the sway of the dead dictator. Okay, this is one called Images. Walking through the spatio-temporal continuum, I saw the present exist forever, and the past change with every leaf swirl moment to which our scattered thoughts rise skywards and skywards. Touching the wings of birds, soft caresses in the form of the definition of life, the sparkle rush of the stream cascading over rocks that its motion renders meaningless, the ever-flowing flow of existence across the interface, where existence ceases to be, the flickering of fissures and the shattering of light, splinters forming and piercing our memories like shrapnel, the forms of flow and turn, scattering themselves to the image of history as if someone sprayed on the walls of some derelict building somewhere, existing through the dances within which history beckons us, calls us out of our slumber into the spinning supernova of each present existing as each other present, the cascade of the stream and the leaping of the salmon pursuing their own memories, as we do ours, that primordial sense that rises forth and slips through the azure sky and the shafts of sunlight that do beckon us to their glimmer swirl, the forms and twisting around, a hymn to each one of us, as we describe the forward descending and ascending, as we move through the symphony of life that calls us, a thousand places we have been to, 10,000 places we have not been to, the flower scent heavy moves through the sway of its own intoxication, drunk we move to some through the shimmer light of dances of the ancients, evoking some sun god of dreams that warms rich meaning and causes the crops to break the soil. We hold the sand in our fingers and watch it slip away, counting out our dreams like some hourglass of meaning that captures each present and allows it to go free. Free it swirls above us and catches the eagle's flight. The beckoning moves through as thought and imagination spin together like ice skaters, moving through each dance a verse of the hymn that sings to the never never and invites us to be. And this is my last one, and it's called Dream Time. Floating through my image, the issue seller watches me in slow-mo, the images splattered on the walls between us, testament to the squabble of pigeons competing for the scraps of last night's takeaway, The distant movement of some dream figure that existed between us. The images of the issue seller and the pigeon, moving through the silent cacophony of the breaking of dawn. The motion, etching through some carved rock of sense the indelible memories through which we finger our existence. Each form motioning us to dance with it. The shimmering image that caught itself as if on some razor wire, leading its sense. Our movement is slowness was stuck to me, drawing and sticky, the rising heat of the sun echoing through the shattering moments before it and within it. The hand that reaches out through some synthetic Maybelline barrier, that calls within its value some form of internet shopping. We look through a thousand stories that weave themselves into a blanket we wrap around ourselves. The silent eyes slowly scanning a horizon of sense that strips its colors across the silent dream of motionless night, that moves slowly within and without of itself, casting topographies to wind like confetti, each moment floating through the air that gave birth to it, indicating its meaning and asking us to catch it, tiny hands grasping in the air to finger meanings before they slip away perfectly, permanently. That's me. Thank you very much.
Well, next up to the mic, we have Jennifer Matthews.
Okay, so weekly announcement, I've got we do a bit of a discussion group every week. So I've got three volunteers from Giles.
Yes.
Goodland. Thank you, Giles Goodland. What he does is, these are kind of found poems where he takes a line from a newspaper article every year from like 1976 to 2003 and makes it, constructs a poem out of that. I've got two of his poems here because they're quite in-depth, so I've got two of these petitions for discussion. So if you want free poems and you want to talk to me about them, come next week here at 7:30. Or alternatively, I've written the address of a website where you can chat about it online. So, there's that. And now my poem. Because I somehow had a block of being unable to read anything I'm writing nowadays last week, I dug up something that's about 10 years old. So this is a sonnet that's about, it's the first and last sonnet that I wrote successfully for the singer of a country band that I that's from the same city and state as I am. And I came to terms with being from the States at the same time that I learned to like this band. So, and then I had a dream about it. So okay. It's called Taxi Cab Sonnet for Jay Farrar. Dear Jay, I dreamt you were my taxi driver. We rolled Missouri hills to midnight trails, the path for pilgrims of the muddy river, who thirst for escape when sleeping fails. I woke with shame at dreaming you mundane, however, us Midwestern sad eyes share a queasy realism in our veins that keeps ego's congestion rare. I must confess, I ghosted at your shows, too cool for country, too lonely to leave. You taught me that the fly guitar could know the sound the river will wail as she breathes, and beauty is to breathe her tears in the air, and we will drive like we paid to get there. So this is called Landscape with Severed Trees and Gnat Light. Do you have gnat light here? No, it's a really shit beer, basically. In a silver can. Landscape with Severed Trees and Gnat Light. The new frontier, militant concrete slabs, winding back to in vapid outer space, cleared of pesky animals, foliage, or even plots, ready to be filled with plastic-sided houses and laid by songs. Empty except for ghosts, postpartum Christmas trees, sickly periwinkle stick blades, and white cracked incisions on their bodies and jaunty stems. The sleepy winter scene is dressed by sparkling silver cans, drunk and abandoned by their adolescent refugees, who may have hesitated upon returning to the homestead at exactly which development is theirs.
Next up, could we please have Mary O'Connor.
Okay, I'll just do one. The introduction will probably take as long, if not longer than four. This was written, again, about 6 years ago, and it was the time when a guy called Mike Batt interfered with John Cage's famous piece of music, which actually wasn't music at all. It was 4 minutes, 33 seconds of silence, which took everybody by surprise. And apparently Mike Batt kind of finished this or stole it in some way, and there was a big row about it. So I wrote this music. I mean, it was just so my little offering is, who stole my silence? Silence might be golden, but sure as hell ain't free. Since John Cage got rattled when 4 minutes 33 was somehow interfered with. At least, that's what he said. Mike Batt had filched a minute, and now must live in dread for infringing copyright. No sound of music now. Too bad the bar was empty. A very silly row.
This is called I Want to Go. I want to go, 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 I want to go. All you have to do right, because I'm not really that special at all. I guess the hard part is surviving after you've made the change, but I lie. I don't have that sorted out. I'm not sure how to sort it out. I lie again. I know damn well. I just can't do it. I hope it won't matter too much. I'd like not to be another one of those I thought I'd never be. You cannot make someone love you, just as you cannot make yourself love somebody. Just be happy. Love will happen. Anything else is a mistake.
Next up to the mic we have here, Patricia Walsh.
Coming home, Babel. You didn't take time to come back this time. The hunger of death surging through your open system. The luxurious pulse is my gift to open and broken trouble. Take the money on the table, and we'll shoot the door. For you abroad, you are employed to me, to satisfy my money loss, and adore me with treasure from our sponsor master. This was called the last only dolphin speaks. Think of color memories, beat a well-worn path to the depths of my psyche. I could have paid the only dolphin part, to the extent of a no-brainer. You buy me a pint or a sympathy, trying to return of late into your barricading lands. Sorrow was not a problem, and you stay in the thick ice of the dance floor, once and looking closely at the eleven to the truth. We are not here to enjoy ourselves, as I said, worshipping an incandescent idol, the wearing of charms and propositions, as well as the bearing of arms, treating ideologies, more on the good burning God, alive on my manifesto. Counting bones the traditional way, sucking the marrow of existence to incandescent treats that God gives us, and let's choose the dry grey matter from the time to do it later again. And last one now is called Promiscuity 101. The Ice Queen deliberates on Rosamond. She could have ruminated at the kitchen table, and no one would have noticed. If she made a living skewing sailors, why does anyone care? Why should I recognize my new promiscuity in the presence? The carelessly in television and childish stumblings to enjoy the sex, feeding fantasies into our love style of bodies, sourish babes from those who are still late, pointing on the kettle for one. You make tea, sit down and wash the soap, not noticing how the eyes so close and doors. Thank you.
Next up to the open mic we have Mr. Seamus Harrison.
Thank God. This goes back a couple of years, and it's probably about a time, half a century back or more. Dug it out because last week was the anniversary of the loss of 9 fishermen off the south coast, and it reminded me of a little bit of them. Called the waiting. No word. 10 paces to the window, the harbour's mouth empty. Nothing but another vacant wave, steep against the ebb, another silent gull. The phone, the only one for miles. Don't touch it! Surely no news is good news, but is it, when they're well overdue? Why no message? God damn it! No news, they're only late. But supposing a leak, a foul propeller, maybe a ground, a radio shade, a heat, fire, a sub, a whale, even a pit prop, gas explosion, broken seacock, rubber, stop it, what's the time? Pump jams, man overboard, a rusty mine, poor faithful, the bay window, the binoculars, black pint, bleaker, blacker. Yes, the wireless. No, leave that squelch. It's fresher now, the swell more lumpy, the broken fists more brittle. I know, water and the fuel, that was a steeper trough on the upturned hull. The first cold plunge of panic on the half-high rock. Blasted to hell, the orange fender slipped down a plank of sky to grapple with the hull, an azure hull, and the lift, rolling her red underbelly and losing buoyancy, losing stability like me. Yes, I can nearly taste the salt. The seascape fades to grey muck. Shiver, no, no, not fog. The Christine and June, cut in two, locked with all hands. Admit it,
they are overdue. Tears spilled from waterproof eyes even. The blinking mist clears, thanks to you. The sea can be a good friend. A tractor growls outside for the bad master. A washed clatter of teeth. Praying now, pray for God's sake. On the same theme, trawling. White flocks pick up our bubbling trail. This groaning craft of oak and larch flows on and throws our curling trawl. We burst the foot rope here last March. Of course we know when we are off course, but flatfish hide where ground not flat. A bouncy haul will swell our purse. No taxman need get wind of that. When catch is up, then price is down, and quotas melt like bins of ice. Would you believe each cocktail prawn was dumped in wartime's poor advice? We really must re-engine soon, and steelwork costs a ransom too. We dock beyond the autumn moon, rehawk and paint her azure blue. Our sister ship was towed astern. Our brother bellowed, submarine, one SOS of grave concern, delayed, Jim never saw 19. But still, we know we must endure the constant pitch and toss, and yet one healthy season would ensure to unship this albatross of death. A dogfish bit my gutting hand, though 10 hours dead, his snap was quick. His every wish was my command, until I pulled my sharpest trick. You know, some days I have to smile, it's when I hear the traffic news. The coffee's on to brew a while, as dolphins sport and jump the queues. We do enjoy a great rapport, we're hunters on aquatic range. We've no desire to work ashore. We know we never want to change. And the last one is last one is 25 degrees 4.8 south, 130 degrees 6.2 west, Father's Day. Above the tide line he gazes silently, soaked in a diamond hard hummock. Like a towering outline on an azure wall, the cargo ship stands off, containers, provisions at the ready, bargain hunters lining her rail. He ignores the soft tick-ticking of cooling quad bikes. With a leathery move of ponderous hide, he nods, blinks an elderly eye. He has seen it before. He has seen 500 Father's Day. Thank you.
Thank you, Cyrus. Next up to the mic, could you please call Mr. Eugene Crowley?
You asked me for my Easter World picture. It's a long way from Jack Jacobsburg Mountains outstation to Ilan Tierra, Chepin, Piron Asa. Mass passes. East window filled with sunlight. Light of Christ falling on a country prison. Yeah.
Thank you, Jean. And next up, we please have Mr. Aaron Lewis.
walking on cobblestones, little bits of skin and bones, jumping on a tram car for a ride. I can remember then, I was just a boy of 10, hanging around the old quayside, where all the captains and the cobble boats and steeple doors are gone, to where all the old ships go, but memories just like the sea live on. 'Cause that was when Cole was killed, the river was a living sin, and I was just a boy, but it was mine. The glory time. This was a big river, but that was long ago. That's not now. That's not now. My father was a working man. He earned a living with his hands. He had to cross the river every day. Picked up the Union cart out of the Neptune guard, mouths to feed and bills to pay. They came a time for him to sail across the seas and far away. And finally when that war was won, he brought him home and back instead. And when his days were done, under a golden sun, took him back to where he longed to be, back to the sea. This was a big river, but that was long ago. That's not now, that's not now. The Neptune was a last to go. I heard it on my radio. And then they played the latest number one. What do they do all day? What are they supposed to say? What does a father tell his son? If you believe that there's a pond between our future and our past, we try to hold on to what we have. We build them strong, we build to last. This is a mighty town, built upon a solid ground, and everything they've tried so hard to kill, we will rebuild. This was a big river, but that was long ago. That's not now. This was a big, big river, but in my heart I know it will rise again. The river will rise again.
When I was about 15, I learned that song, and one of my wishes was to go on Stars in the Rise. And my uncle said, you might have the voice, Aaron, but we'll have to take the sledgehammer to your face, so you look like Jimmy Nail. So they'll have to take a hammer to my face, so you look like Jimmy Nail. But does anybody know who Jimmy Nail is?
Yeah.
I wrote this as one of the slam poetry challenges a couple of months ago. The poetic flow of creative bliss, my burning desire to know life, echoes a volcanic eruption. The art of life, a flowing moment, I'm in amazement of it all. I stand here tamed and alert, as the yellow sun prisms my forehead with its warming food. I arrive home and sausages sizzle in the pan, creating a rich aroma fit for a king. The synchro dance of light as a circus unfolds itself in my head. We are allowed to be free and accept ourselves as we are now. When I first came to Cork, about January 2006, I met a guy called Jason Murphy, and a good friend of mine, and he said, I said something to him, he said, absolutely, not absolutely, absolutely, and I've said that to a lot of people, and some people get it, and some people don't question it, they just listen to it. So I wrote a poem called Absolutely, so here we go. It's in those moments, the buzzwords that express more colour and vitality. In each unique setting, we can paint our own unique painting. With each delicate stroke of the brush, we are blessed and redefined. In our own cherished incense, an expressive knowledge and light that will seep through each quark and subatomic particle, that these falls are forging in an age of sobriety and knowledge. A knowledge-based society, we are allowed to run free in our own circumstances. The rhythmic dance of life that befalls one setting that will play a perfect rhythm in sync which passing moments like songbirds singing in the morning, and how the colourful continuum lives on in each moment fully expressed. Me and Alan went to another open mic night on Thursday in Utopia Nation, which is on Barrett Street, and there's more music than poetry, I think. Me and Alan were doing one, 270 poems, but it was my turn to get up and read some poems, and there was a guy, an English guy, very cockney accent, very kind of punk rocker, and in the middle of me reading poems, he was heckling me, and everybody else was very supportive of me, and they booed him and kind of heckled him out, you know. So it was quite funny, and but it was interesting. I felt was it the energy of the poetry or the energy of the people, but I felt calm, like I didn't feel, you know, I was going to come up and chop my head off or anything, but I just, yeah, it was nice, but I, at the end of him going, I read something, which I've read here more than once, but I feel I'm going to dedicate this to him. Okay, this is not mine, this is more of an inch, it's more of a Native American story, so this is a story that would be told to a lost child. What do you do when you're lost in the forest? What do you do if you can't find your way around? This is a real question that was asked by a Native American child grown up in the Klamath Cedar Forest of the northwest of America. It could also be a question asked by a street kid growing up in Cork or Newcastle. Or it also could be a question asked by someone like a celebrity who's given themselves over to something much greater than themselves, and they've lost themselves in it completely. So the child asks the elder, what do I do when I'm lost in the forest? And here's the answer the elder gives. The elder says, stand still. The trees ahead and bushes beside you are not lost. Wherever you are is called here. Stand still. The trees ahead and bushes beside you are not lost. Wherever you are is called here, and you must treat it as a powerful stranger, you must ask permission to know it and be known. Listen, the forest breathes, it whispers, I have made this place around you, if you leave it you may come back saying here. No two trees are the same to ravens, no two branches are the same to run. If what a tree or a branch does is lost on you, then you are surely lost. Stand still, the forest knows where you are. Stand still, the forest knows where you are. Stand still, the forest knows where you are. You must let it find you. You must let it find you. Thank you.
Anyone else have to be open mic tonight? No? No opponents? Should I be opponent? Good morning.
This one is about grief. Time goes by, and time does change things, but the loss of you will never leave me. And though I seem to have said goodbye, I grieve in silence. For you who suffer so in deathly torment, for your love and all the things that cannot be said. I grieve in silence, and carry your dying with every step. She opened her eyes, realized the late alarm had not yet rung, and closed them again. She sank into herself, allowing the remnants of dream to drown her. Mornings drifted into days into heavy nights and drunken stupors. The alarm did not alarm. It rang on the human teacher in the loft while simultaneously burying herself deeper. She was not really there, with floating beneath a swirl of expectation and possibility. She wanted to forget herself, to lose herself somehow. She lay alone in her bed in a world fast losing the will of herself. Nothing made sense. Living held many unpredictable pitfalls. She longed for an end, but sensed that there might not be one. Perhaps her soul is forever caught up in the perpetual cycle of living and dying until the lessons of humanity are learnt and godliness is inherent. She thought of how the world around her was dying, being murdered and mutilated slowly by man longing for an end. She thought of how easy it is to ignore what is staring on the face, of how ignorance can be cultivated and denial depends upon. There was a bad taste in her mouth and her body hung heavy in the bed. She understood how some pitfalls are predictable. Waking was a sluggish process with a mind bent on apathetic vigilance and self-effacement. Mornings were often the same. They were late afternoons. Some things had to change. Some parts deep within her needed to undergo a complete metamorphosis. Could she fashion a pair of wings in her soul? Wings to span her lifetime? She felt a pang as a cold and cautious hand tightened its grip around her heart. It wouldn't be easy. A new language had to be learned, but would have to be uncovered first. She would have to remember the dreams that she kept forgetting. I only want to be alone now. We're all so far away from home now. I'm sorry if my words don't sink in. It's getting harder to determine the truth. Time falling fast. Every passing dream is finally answered. Try not questioning. The game is real and all encompassing. Open your eyes and take what.
If we can try, then why do we crawl? Why take so much when our wings are small? Raise up your hands, when love commands. You are free to live eternally. I only want to be at home now. My flesh, my blood, my bones, my soul now. I breathe in deep, pour my fears to sleep. May I dig deep with heart and find clarity.
She stepped into a cocoon, a chrysalis made of earth and blood, of love and love-making, of knowledge and unknowing. She wore it like a gown. It bore every colour in, and she emerged a thousand shades of grey, finding strength in her tears. When I open my eyes, I understand things are not what they seem at the start. Bide your time now, don't be hasty. Wait for the light, for your verity and shine. Sleep through the darkest night, don't be afraid to cry. Your tears can only make you stronger. Life can be harsh, I know, but let your feelings flow. Don't wear a mask like many others. Open your eyes. Open your eyes. Open your eyes. Open your eyes. When I open my eyes, I understand things are not what they seem at the start. The world keeps turning, so don't